You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Rakari Austin, and I'm one of the hosts of GCX 2022. Now, we want you to join us at Rosen Shingle Creek in Orlando, Florida, as we come together for another unforgettable GCX. Tickets are going fast, and look, we want to see you, so visit gcxevent.com/tickets to book now.
Do you ever get tired of the same old thing? Looking for something new and exciting, but not really sure what to choose? Let us over at Kings Coast Coffee take the guesswork out of your coffee subscription. The Roaster's Choice is an always-changing coffee surprise selected and chosen by our head roaster and always a crowd pleaser. Shake up the way you wake up with the Roaster's Choice.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Broman Show, episode 145. I am here with Daniel Malik at View Studios.
Nice to see you guys. Nice to meet you, and
nice to meet you.
Be hanging out.
Yeah, it's been great. We've been talking for like 30 minutes before we got on camera. It's been a good time. Yeah,
for sure.
It's been a good time. So tell me, what is View Studios? Like, from a really top level, what are we looking at? This is all super impressive, but for someone who's never seen it before, like, what is this?
Yeah, so the way I like to explain it to my parents and grandparents is it's a giant TV screen. But that's probably the most simple way to put it. Really, what it is at its base level, yes, it is a massive LED screen, but what's driving it isn't what you're seeing here. It's all the computational power behind the scenes that bring it to life. And so we use it here for virtual production, which is an emerging type of video production that is just now becoming mainstream and allows you to immerse your viewers and your crew and ultimately your talent in whatever environment you can imagine. So you can use a real environment as your base, like this, you know, lake and mountainscape here, or you could go to Mars or Venus, or you could invent a completely surreal new environment that might be more abstract, or whatever your imagination is the limit. So it's a really unique and exciting type of technology that is just now becoming mainstream in the video production world.
It's like super cutting edge. Mm-hmm. When we first had a chance to kind of sit down and see everything that you were doing, it was a couple years ago, and you know, we were talking earlier, and you were one of very few in on the planet. Mm-hmm. Like on the whole planet, there was like how many at that point? Like three?
Yeah, so we don't know the definitive amount, but what we say is a handful.
Low single digits.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is, ILM has been working on virtual production technology for a long time, and they've iteratively gotten better. The first kind of large scale use of it was on The Jungle Book, directed by Jon Favreau, and they used projection to create natural shadows and ambient lighting and that sort of stuff, which helped to immerse the lighting and the talent in the environment. But it was still all green screen, blue screen, traditional visual effects. But they took what they learned on The Jungle Book and they brought it to The Mandalorian. And so The Mandalorian was the first large-scale production to utilize virtual production in what we call a volume, which is this large LED array. Before The Mandalorian came out and as the episode started to air, I know as I was watching it as a fan, I was really immersed in it. And I would have conversations with my friends like, wow, this feels so grounded, more so than any other Star Wars film I've seen. Like from the cinematography to the lighting and everything.
How are they getting these shots? I don't understand. There's super long shots in Star Wars, and there's always these new locations. And I was like, how much time were they spending? I was like right there with you. Yeah,
it was really great. And obviously an awesome story as well, which is what enabled it to be so good in the first place. And then fast forward to when the series finale aired, and Disney released some of their behind the scenes of The Mandalorian. And then we saw, they just shot this all on these massive LED screens that they call the volume. And, traditionally LED screens like this have been used for live events and, public areas like in Times Square with all the, digital billboards and stuff. But they use them in a production environment. And that got us thinking of okay, well, you know, one day we'll be able to have this, you know,
yeah.
10 years from now, maybe. But then something happened, which we're all familiar with, which yeah. is, you know, the COVID-19.
Yeah, we all went pandemic. Inside for a while.
Yeah.
Everyone's still hibernating.
Yeah. And, you know, at the time, our company, we're, our production company, Diamond View, 80% of our work was shot on location. So, you know, we shoot a lot in the Southeast region here. But then, you know, we travel around the country and around the world and, you know, do productions on a pretty big scale. But because of the pandemic, we had to push pause on essentially all of that.
Yeah. So what you couldn't do yeah. anything.
Yeah. Our whole team, we were, you know, we were locked up for weeks on end, and we employ a lot of, months on end, actually. And,
yeah.
And we employ a lot of, you know, we directors, cinematographers, Griffin Electric crew members, which handle, you know, a lot of build-outs of lighting and all that kind of
yeah.
stuff. So those are all, you know, jobs that you need.
They're dependent. Yeah, 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 they're dependent on being able to go to a location and
exactly.
do, you know, the business of creating
exactly.
like media and movies or anything.
Yeah. And so that's when a few people from our team, they just, you know, they had time on their hands. So they invested it in learning about virtual production and talked, you know, the leaders of our company to purchase some of the parts that we needed to make it work. But through a lot of trial and error, because there was no, you know, there's no website or tutorial online at the time, at least, that you could go and you could figure out how to do this on your own. It all had to be figured out through the really talented staff that we have here. And, you know, in the span of about 6 months, we got our first small scale volume up and running at
yeah.
our original studio. And then that was a success. We started booking it out like crazy.
Yeah.
And within 1 month, we thought, okay, well, we need a bigger space. And we acquired this space here, and we built out the volume, which at the time, this is, I guess this would be November of 2020. Yeah, November of 2020, when we built out this volume, it was one of just a handful in the world.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, hopefully that summarizes.
I know, no, that was great. Yeah. I think everybody's super interested in the story of how mm-hmm. something like this grows. Right? Like,
yeah.
because when we first had a chance to kind of get a look at this technology, since it's here in Tampa, mm-hmm. And we were so excited. I remember the day, like, that Mandalorian episode dropped, and we'll get into, you talked about computational power, and I want to talk about mm-hmm. Unreal Engine, but that was, for me, you know, coming from the gaming space, they talked about how they used Unreal Engine in Mandalorian to do set pieces, and that, it was like, I don't know. You ever had the moment in the movie where it's like when like the whole universe is like gets sucked out of your head and you can see everything?
Yeah.
It was like that kind of a moment for me because I realized like technology got to a point where the idea of doing, you know, digital craftsmanship for environments, for sounds, for actors, for everything has come to a point where like there is economic viability for you to just do everything remote, everything digital, everything scanned in. And then, you know, put your few key acting personnel in an environment like this, they do their job and they can go home. Mm-hmm. And there's such an advantage to that because you're talking about all this on location stuff. So it's like, you know, what's more cost effective, flying everyone out to a desert or like buying a truck full of sand you can throw at people and, and, you know, filming in front of this with landscapes, you know, like we have here or something that you did custom design. Or even, like we were talking earlier, you use LiDAR to check out a location
yeah.
in advance and really see if it's what you need.
Yeah.
So I wanted to, so that moment with the Mandalorian was huge for us, and that is how we ended up finding Diamond View in Vue. I remember the day in the office, Kevin was like, "You're not gonna believe it! You know the thing that they shoot the Mandalorian on?" And I was like, "Yeah, dude, like that crazy LED wall." He was like, "There's one 10 minutes from my house!"
No, man,
and oh
awesome.
My God, it was like the most magical moment. I was like, "We're gonna do everything we wanna do. We're gonna figure this stuff out."
Yeah.
You know, because we've, you know, at Rare Drop, we have been obviously in the gaming space for a long time. Gaming space likes to do bleeding edge tech all the time. That's
mm-hmm.
It's always this one-upsmanship and getting to a place where photorealistic becomes simple. So hearing that there was a place in town here in Tampa where we could go and get the same kind of world-class shooting opportunity or experience that they have on the set of The Mandalorian, it blew our minds. And then we got a chance to come see it. And the first one we saw was the small one. And I believe we were there the same day that they had the Super Bowl trophy.
Okay.
And yeah, they were like shooting all these Super Bowl promos and things that we got to see later. So, you know, go Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Let's do one more.
Go Bucks.
Go Bucks for sure. But yeah, like that's how we, you know, coming from our side of the space, that's how we found you. And what's been really amazing for me kind of watching over the past 2 years, because like you said, we're all inside. But you all have managed to grow this business from this one location in Tampa to multiple locations. Mm-hmm. So like, let's talk a little bit about that. Obviously, you know, COVID happens, we're in the pandemic. You have a remote, easily sociable distancing environment, and it's suddenly in really high demand, I would expect. So talk about how Vue expanded from here to all of your other locations.
Yeah, well, you know, when The Mandalorian released what, you know, has been now come to be known as virtual production and made it more mainstream, it's honestly been a mad rush to build these studios as fast as possible because it opened up a lot of eyes. It unlocked a lot of imaginations of creatives around the world.
Yeah.
And so, to be honest, since we opened this up back in November, this facility wasn't even done being built. And, you know, as you'll see on the tour, it's still not even done being built.
Yeah.
You know, we're still like always tweaking some other spaces, because we're constantly trying to be better and grow. But you know, it was a mad rush at the beginning to build this as fast as possible. And in November, all we had up was this wall. We didn't have the ceiling. We didn't have any of this, you know, infrastructure around here. It was literally just an LED wall and a computer plugged in next to it. And we had our first shoot in here. And since then, we've been booked solid. And so we found little windows where we can bring in some of this extra infrastructure and make our bathrooms work and like all these all these crazy things.
You got to go visit this place. It's incredible. They got the biggest LED volume in the world, maybe.
Yeah.
No functional toilets.
Right. Yeah. Well,
they're fixed now.
Yeah. And I mean, it's
That's
interesting
so cool.
because this is a previous mall location. So, you know, we're in a mall, and actually part of the mall is still up and running, but the section we're in has been closed down for quite a while. And so it needed a lot of upkeep and a lot of updating. And so, you know, it's been really fun and interesting to be, to see the progression that we've had over the past year or so. But it's also been, you know, super humbling that we're in a space like this, you know, in Tampa. You know, we're our Diamond Vue, our production company, and Vue now, you know, our roots are in the Tampa Bay, and it's our home. It always will be our home. And so it's been cool to set down roots here and see productions from all over the country and all over the world really wanting to come here to shoot. And so, but, you know, we're booked pretty consistently.
Yeah, like you said, you're booked solid.
Yeah, and so, you know, there's obviously a need for this. Other virtual production studios are doing great work around the world, and they're also growing at an unprecedented pace. And so, you know, we started to identify some other markets that are kind of ripe for this type of technology and to do it on a larger scale like this, because even some of the other virtual production studios that are opening up, either they're a little smaller scale, so you know, larger productions might not be able to take advantage of them, or the larger ones that are big enough for big productions are for long form content, you know, for, you know, you name the streaming platform or television show or film studio. And so which is amazing, and it is part of our business model, but you know, we really want to be the go-to for shorter form content, you know, your music videos, commercials, you know, even something that a streaming platform would want to do that would be for a shorter form piece of content.
Yeah.
That's not something that they would need to, you know, rent out a studio for 6 months plus, you know? So, that's kind of what we've identified in some of the other markets we're going into right now. And so right now, we just opened up our studio in Nashville, which our stage in Nashville is actually, it's about twice the size of this one. So if you think this is big, yeah, it's actually a little bit bigger than this.
While you're talking, I'm just going to take a quick walk around. Keep talking about how big it is. This will be great.
Yeah. So it is a full volume like this one. But in addition to this, it has an adjacent long flat wall that runs along the side of our stage. And so it's pretty massive. And it's also taller. It's probably...
This is about two stories.
Yeah. This is 20 feet tall.
Okay.
Brody, how tall is this screen?
Live math.
Okay, so yeah, 20 feet
20
tall.
20 feet.
So the one in Nashville is a row taller than that one. So
wow.
It's 23 and some change feet.
That's intense.
And then our Vegas studio is going to be a similar size, maybe a little bit bigger even. And we have some other exciting things that we're doing in Vegas as well, because there's a lot of space in our facility for additional studio environments. And so each of those markets we've identified as really markets that are ripe for production.
Yeah.
And for this type of production specifically, you know, Vegas is a two and a half hour drive from LA.
Yeah.
And, so it's really close, but it's so much cheaper to shoot.
Yeah.
In Vegas than it is in LA, but we're still identifying markets like, you know, we'll be in LA, we'll be in New York, we'll be in Chicago, and so those are coming as well. But right now we're really focused on here in Tampa and then Nashville and Vegas.
That's so cool. I love the economics of placing things in the right location, right? Like it's super fun because I'm a numbers nerd. Like it's really fun to find out like. Oh, like if we put, like you mentioned Vegas being 2.5 hours away from LA, right? Like, like what's the discovering like, oh, well, we're perfectly priced for a 2.5 hour drive, right?
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
and it's the thing that I love about virtual production is the same thing that I love about technology in general, is that like what we're looking at right now is only going to get better.
Yeah.
Like the quality of the panels are going to increase, computing capacity is going to increase, transistors will get smaller, electrical usage will go down, stuff like that. So that, you know, as incredible as this is, every time I sit in front of a really awesome piece of technology, I usually like to think 5 years from now, what is this going to look like?
Yeah. Where's it going?
Where is it going?
Yeah.
You know, and the first time I walked into Vue, I couldn't get an answer to that question. I was like, I have no idea. Like, this is it.
And on that note, it's actually really interesting because, we
built this out like a little over a year ago,
but
our Nashville panels that we're putting in there, like you said, they're better. They're a lot better than these ones.
Oh, yeah.
And then what's going on in Vegas is even going to be a little bit different from what's in Nashville. And so you're absolutely right. The technology is going to keep getting better. And, you know, we can implement some of that new tech in the actual LED panels, but also the processors that are powering the panels, but then also the computational side. And Unreal Engine 5 is coming out soon, and that's going to be a game changer.
Unreal Engine 5 is going to be, it's going to be, like, yeah, like, is there's, it's going to be a before and after, right? Like, there's going to be, like, oh, wow, can you believe 10 years from now, folks, like, can you believe they pulled that off in Unreal 4? And, like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. Like, that must have taken them 5 months. And, you know, now my kid does it in an afternoon on Unreal 5.
So you're talking about on-location shoots, everything like that earlier, and how much staff it takes to, like, run a shoot. So if we're coming in, someone's hiring you, let's say we're doing, like, a car commercial, you know, how many trades people are involved with, you know, that kind of a production?
It depends on the project. You saw the shoot we had going on in here earlier.
Yeah.
There was, maybe 6 or 7 people. It was a smaller scale type production.
Yeah.
But, we've had dozens of people on set in here. On location, it can be up to hundreds of people. It just depends on what the project is. And then a lot of times if we're working with, kind of A-level talent, that kind of stuff, then some, especially with the pandemic considerations, we have to be a lot more careful. So if it's like athletes or, you know, actors and actresses, it's we take into consideration not having as many people on set in those circumstances. And so, but there's so much that goes into a production. So obviously you have creative development that happens early on in a project's pipeline, and then after that, if we land on a creative that everyone's happy with, then we go into pre-production, and that consists of your camera department, your grip and electric department, your props, art, wardrobe, food, what we call craft services, so many things that go into that side of the project. Then you go into the shoot, and all of those departments, they come to life, and they bring the project to life. And then after that, there's a whole nother phase, which is post-production. And then you have editors, visual effects artists, colorists, sound designers, audio mixers, engineers. It's there's so much that goes into every project. And depending on the scope of the project, it scales. So it can be as few as a few people on set, which this environment allows for that to be done pretty effectively, because there's so much that so many variables that you don't deal with that you would on location.
Totally.
Like if you're on location and you're shooting in a park scene in a neighborhood or on a sidewalk, you have to have PAs, production assistants, who are standing and blocking traffic, asking people not to go.
Permitting and stuff.
Yeah, there's so much that goes into it. Here, that's not something you have to worry about. And so, virtual production isn't best for every single type of shot or every single type of project.
Yeah.
But as it gets better, kind of like you were saying, it's getting better and better. I think we're going to find a lot more uses for it. I think the filmmaker in me and the creative in me always loves going on location. And, if I could choose between going to Italy to do a shoot versus, doing it virtually, I'm going to want to go in person because I like to travel and all those sorts of things. But the reality of it is, we can get so close to the photorealism that the viewer can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
And it enables so many more stories to be told because of the cost effectiveness of it.
Yeah.
And so that's, for me, what gets me the most excited about is we can provide opportunities to tell stories that otherwise might not be able to ever be told. But this not only opens up new avenues for, logistically someone to be able to tell their story, but also in terms of new creative ideas and things that, we couldn't have imagined before that are now possible because of, this virtual production technology.
I completely, I'm blown away every time, for just listening to how many people get in on a project, like a commercial or things like that. And one of the things that I love about Vue here in Tampa is that, unlike, let's say, running a production company or running a production where you have to bring everyone out of their home environment onto a location, everybody, I assume most folks who are working here on a day-to-day basis, they could be shooting in Italy and then be home for dinner at the usual time, right?
Having spaghetti for dinner.
Yeah, spaghetti for dinner that isn't nearly as good as if you were in Italy. So I love that, and I love that sort of story for Tampa, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're a creative person, it's difficult. If you're in any of the creative fields, any of the fields you just mentioned, it can be difficult to get a job in this kind of creative production. And there's a lot of instability that comes with it. Like you're saying, if you're traditionally directing, you're going to be traveling a lot. There's going to be a whole bunch of parts or aspects of your job that, when you're working in a location like this, they can kind of be eliminated, and things can look a little bit more like a traditional job, which is great because I think it, like you were talking about access, it gives more people access to a style of employment that they may not be able to have unless they were willing to move out to Los Angeles or somewhere. And now people can move to Tampa and be part of cutting edge, brand new technology that, people are booked months out. It's a good thing that you're booked months out, by the way, because otherwise I would have been making jokes the whole time about book now, book today. Otherwise, you're not, it's not showing up for years, right? Yeah. Get your timeshare now, in with Vue. Otherwise you'll never record here. And I know you want to. For everybody who comes on the show or anyone who comes to my podcast, you have a job and you're doing stuff that somebody who's listening dreams about doing. Mm-hmm. And so it's one thing to dream about the end result. It's a thing to dream about, wow, and then I have this and I can do all these cool things. And we get really, you know, when we're starting to chase down a job, we focus on that end goal. And sometimes we get really confused or we get really lost about, like, how do you go from, like, the first step on my journey to working here, operating something like this? So what was your path of interesting employment that led you here?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I guess, like, where I started off was when I was in middle school and high school, I always had a desire and a knack to create things, you know, whether it was video content or like graphic design, and I dabbled in web design, you know, for a little bit. And so, you know, I ran the whole gamut with it. But then I was going to a church, and they came back with a camera full of footage from a mission trip that they had taken.
Gotcha.
And, you know, they went overseas, and they got some, you know, it wasn't anything fancy. It was a, like a handy cam style camera, like, you know, a dad cam kind of thing. And, you know, none of the footage was too great. It looked bad, but they handed me the camera and said, "Hey, Daniel, you dabble in iMovie. You wanna make something with this stuff?
iMovie.
Okay, cool." And I had to figure out how to get the files off the camera to the computer because the camera wouldn't want to talk to the Mac that I had, and like all the stuff. And
no
stuff.
Wireless transfer.
No, it was crazy. And so, but I was able to figure it out, and I edited a video. And then a week later, they played it at church, and there was just people were moved by it and connected with people. And, you know, from the music to the type of imagery that that I use in the edit, and I saw, wow, this medium is a really powerful format for
captivating people and telling an effective story. And so then from there on, I started a career doing creative and video production in church worlds. And so, you know, I grew up in Wisconsin, and that was in a very small town, and that's where I started off doing that. And then eventually I was able to relocate down here to Florida, and I worked at a pretty large church doing the same type of stuff, just at a larger scale.
Yeah.
And it was a great, you know, training ground. I learned a lot about video production, and, you know, I failed a lot. I'm a huge advocate of failing, and that's the best way to learn.
You take nothing else away from the show, failing, like, it's okay.
Yeah, I had a lot of mess-ups, that's for sure, and, but every one of them I learned from, and then, you know, eventually I started to get a knack to get out of that world and to grow into more, you know, larger avenues, raise the ceiling a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was able to get a job at our production company, Diamond View, here.
Okay.
I started a friendship with some of the staff here, and, you know, they reached out to me and brought me on board. And, you know, since then, haven't looked back. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. So Diamond View, our production company, is, you know, we're a full service production company. So if you're a brand, you can come to us, and we'll come up with a creative concept for you, and then we'll, you know, we'll produce it, we'll shoot it, and then we'll handle the post production as well. And then if you're an agency and you are working with a brand and you already have a concept, then we'll handle all the production of it as well. And, you know, do that side. So no matter what your needs are, our Diamond View, our production company, is like a fully turnkey solution. But like I mentioned earlier, when the pandemic happened, we had to kind of rethink and shift our business model. A
couple things.
Yeah, and so you know, we launched the View Studio, which at the time it was just, you know, Diamond View's studio.
Yeah,
and we quickly realized, you know, that. Or I should say, it quickly outgrew Diamond View in the sense of other production companies that were not Diamond View wanted to come and shoot here. And we saw a huge desire for, you know, everyone from television shows to live events to other commercials coming to shoot in this studio. And so that's essentially what led us to grow into splitting into two separate companies. And now View is a studio, virtual production studio provider, and we're building out studios across the country. When it comes to production, it's very relational. You know, I didn't get this job because I applied for it or anything like that. I had relationships with you know, some other filmmakers and people who were already on staff here at Diamond View and View. And you know, and also I made a lot of stuff. And so, you know, kind of what I was saying earlier about embracing failure, I had a lot of opportunities to make content and learn what works and what didn't work. And slowly but surely, my work improved. And it led me to where I am now. It opened doors that, you know, I never thought would open. And nowadays, anyone can do that from, you know, with the power of, you know, the phone in their pocket. They can shoot on their phone in 4K, high quality. Now you can shoot in ProRes on iPhones, which is crazy. And you can edit it right on your phone as well. And so, you know, everyone has a place to start. And it's just getting in the habit of making content, connecting with people who are ahead of where you want to be at, you know?
Well, that's, so for me, I always tell people to just get started, right? When it comes to creative stuff, what I've learned, whether it's in gaming or video production, which I just learned, is it really is the community of people that engage in doing that as a profession. They trust each other. And you need to be able to prove to yourself or to prove to them, whether that's through experience or an interview or whatever, that you're worth taking a risk on because, and God, like we're experiencing it right now. There's so many things that are just gonna go wrong for a production. There's gonna be audio problems, there's gonna be video problems, camera's gonna die that's not supposed to die. You know, like whatever's gonna happen is gonna happen. And you need to know that everyone else on that set's going to know how to do their job. They're going to know how to effectively decision make, or, you know, if you're editing and you don't get a file that you need or whatever, you need people that are going to be able to be creative and adapt on the fly. And one of the best ways to prove that is by having like a stable of work. And like you said, it's never been easier to shoot a video on your phone, edit it on your phone, and show that you have, you know, the kind of creative chops necessary. And it's also never been easier to network with folks. I mean, social media makes it super easy. TikTok for creatives, I cannot recommend it enough. It doesn't matter what niche you're into. Like, if you only like hip-hop producers that make lo-fi beats from 1950s jazz, there's like 100 people on TikTok that would like love to give you the nastiest 1950s jazz samples they can find. So, you know, no matter what you like to create or what kind of niche you're engaging with, like there is an opportunity for you to go out there and not just create, but be embraced by the niche or the community that you're making content for. And I'd say, having, you know, done content creation for like a decade, I've been on a lot of social media platforms, and I've never seen one as welcoming to creatives as TikTok is. From a community standpoint, you know, if you like doing something and you're not there to cause problems, people are gonna, you'll be able to build that network. And I guess I get really obsessed with that because when I was growing up, when I was doing creative stuff, I didn't really have that outlet. You know, I networked with the people that I could, but I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. So like, there's not a lot going on there. If you don't want to do sports production, right? Like if it's not the Cardinals, it doesn't matter. So I did everything I could, but I didn't have, you know, access to the internet in the way that the youths of today do, right? You know, Facebook came out, when Facebook came out for me, you had to sign up with a .edu, like web email to get your account. You know, so the idea of networking online hadn't really happened yet. And to watch it go from, you know, the birth of all of that and the birth of social media and everybody being like hyper competitive, because I feel like a lot of platforms have been that way. Twitch is that way, right? It's a king making platform. Algorithms will put you at number one. But TikTok has this special, it is a special environment where you can find people with similar interests and interact with them directly in a really unique way. So, now that I've boosted my TikTok stock by 5%, but seriously, it's like the power of the network is what brings it all home, right? You know, you talked about that. It got you your job here, and you never know. And this is my favorite part about networking, is you absolutely don't know, especially with online presence, how many people you're reaching. So, you know, whether you're a streamer with 100 followers, you don't know, like one of those 100 followers could be a tired CEO at a bank who watches you every night before they go to sleep, and like they're gonna call Bank of America is gonna call you because the guy up top likes you. Yeah. We've had so many experiences like that at Rare Drop, and I've had so many experiences like that in my personal journey that would mirror yours. I really can't emphasize enough the value of getting out there and networking, and you know, do it in a way that is fun and enjoyable for you. It doesn't have to be awful anymore. Yeah. Because like back in the day, they told me to wrap it up, but I'm just going to keep talking because I want to ask this one question to you. But like back in the day, like if you wanted to go network, they had networking events. And I know they still have networking events, but like I went to something when I was like right out of high school that's like, you know, young arts, creative networking, and it was terrible. I had like a panic attack. I was like, and everything there sucked, right? Because people hadn't had as much of an opportunity to create and fail because there was that higher... I'm just figuring this out right now. There's that higher bar of like, well, like unless your dad owns a dealership and you have $5,000 of video equipment, you're not editing a movie. Did you have that experience in networking? Did you ever go to a big sweaty event to?
I've always been an introvert, and so I would stay away from those as much as possible.
Ah, yes, you made the smart choice.
Yeah. So I can't say that I ever, at least to my knowledge, have partaken in one of those. You're absolutely right when it comes to networking, because the ease of use of being able to make content so easily now is amazing. It's a massive blessing, but it can be a curse because everyone can do it. So yep. Now it's like, okay, well, how are you going to stand out? And the way that you can do that is through networking and through those relationships. And really, like you said, I love what you're saying about TikTok and finding people who are like-minded.
Yeah.
Because you can look at people who are ahead of you and where you want to be at,
yeah,
and who are like-minded, whether that is in your craft or in your ideology or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And you can collaborate and build stuff together. Mm. And then, if you have someone who is ahead of you and they're working on something and you're just like, hey, I just want to be there.
I just
want to be on set. Can I be a shadow? Can I be a production assistant,
Can I come check this out?
Like whatever it might be,
You'd be surprised how many people say yes.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, we're always looking for people who are hungry. Like that's it. Like if you're going to show up and you're going to work hard, I would say a good chunk of our staff and people that you've probably met around here started out as interns. And, they proved themselves. They worked their ass off and they were, all in on our company's vision. And then, fast forward a couple months when their internship is up, we can't imagine not having them. And so they get a job. And
yep.
And that's, that's something that I've seen time and time again be rewarded is hard work and passion. And so those are some values that, in everything, whether it's video production, Twitch, gaming, or like business, like you name it, like working hard, embracing failure, and then learning from those failures. I think that can get you a lot.
Yeah.
So
that's the whole cake. That's all the secret sauce. Thank you so much for chatting with me today. I had an absolutely incredible time talking.
Yeah.
If you are listening or watching, make sure, first of all, you can rate and subscribe if you want. That's cool. But what's more important to me is that if you were listening to this today and it made you think about someone in your life where you're like, oh yeah, like that's totally for them, please send it to them, because the whole reason I started doing this was because I wanted to get information like this to you and to the people that want to hear it. So if you're interested in video production or literally any discipline that could touch this giant, beautiful LED wall, maybe go back, maybe bookmark, make sure you follow View on social media everything that you can, and try and book them in another location than here.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody.